Hello and welcome to another episode of Hey, Have You Read This? You are joined, as always, by writer and author Hayley Savark.
Hello.
And literary publicist Madeline Ryan. Hello. Today, so excited, following on from our Halloween episode, we are going to be reading The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. Well, we're not reading it. We're reviewing it.
We're reviewing it.
We've already read it.
Yeah. Some of us have even watched the show.
Some of us have even watched the show. I wish both of us could say that, but we can't.
But we can't.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So just before we jump into the book review, the book does have mention of death and suicide, and the TV show mentions suicide, death of a loved one, drug abuse, and sexual child abuse. Alone in the world, Eleanor is decided to take up Dr. Montag's invitation to spend a summer in the mysterious Hill House. Joining them are Theodora, an artistic sensitive, and Luke, heir to the house. But what begins as a light-hearted experiment is swiftly proven to be a trip into their darkest nightmares, and an investigation that one of their number may not survive. Acclaimed as one of the finest ghost stories of the 20th century and filmed twice as The Haunting, this is an unsettling examination of how fear can make us our own worst enemy.
Very true.
Boom. So, Hayley, have you read this?
I have. I'm not really into horror. I don't gravitate towards a genre of horror as in books, like graphic novels.
Yeah, I can't say I've read much horror, to be honest.
No,
I read, like Carrie, like Stephen King. I read a couple of Stephen King.
Psychological thrillers. I kind of like that sometimes, but I'm more of a fiction fantasy gal. Yeah. But
Give me a rom-com any day of the week.
But I actually really enjoyed this book because it was different to what I've normally read. And it's also a classic. I did not realise that it was written in 1959.
Yeah.
There was obviously aspects. It does read a little bit differently, I think, because it's written so long ago.
Yeah, I think you read it as a classic.
Yeah.
You know, I think you kind of take them with a little, like, a grain of salt.
Like, there was a lot of prose where it was almost, like, over-explaining things sometimes. Like, just a bit, I don't know how to, you know, like, it was a bit, like, long-running sentence type of thing.
Exactly, yeah. I think it was trying to be maybe a bit more profound reading it to be, than I needed it to be, you know?
I didn't think it was a horror, so I wasn't afraid. I'm a very afraid person. I think it was more of a terror thing.
In general, I'm afraid of things.
But it begs the question of whether, you know, the main character, well, she's kind of the main character now, Eleanor, whether it was actually real or not. And there was a lot of that questioning going on throughout the book.
Yeah.
And see, I haven't seen the show, so I only have the book to compare to.
I have seen the show so many times.
It's one of Maddie's favourite shows, if not her favourite show.
Yeah, yeah.
So she has a bit of, I think, a different perspective to probably what I have on it.
But do you know what? I think it gave me a disadvantage going into reading this book. I knew, like, from reading the back of it, I knew that it was completely different to the TV series.
But even down to the characters, like you said in the show that they're siblings. That's obviously not the case.
Yeah. Like, it's a completely different story. Even the characters aren't, like, Nell in the book. I don't think she shares much of the same traits or, like, personalities or quirks as Nell in the TV show. Yeah. I don't think any of them really
share the same.
No.
What do you think? There were some really terrifying moments, because for me, like, the one standout, I think, in the whole book was when I'm pretty sure it's Theodore, explains there's something there and says, run. And she runs, but you don't ever know what it is.
No, and you don't really get the answers. No. And that's the thing. And I think I felt like there were a couple of similarities. There were a couple of really, really tiny similarities.
Okay.
And I feel like in the TV show, they took those couple of things and they made them into these big storylines that I loved.
Yeah.
And so then going from that, this, like, big, you know, like, it's like a very juicy, like, overflowing with these, like, great, like, like love stories and you know, like these kids like tormented with their past and they're all trying to deal with like mental health and there's drug addiction and there's fertility issues. Like there's every problem under the sun.
Oh, it's modern as well, isn't it? It's not supposed to be in the 1950s?
No, it is. It flashes back and forth. So when it flashes to the young kids, it's in the 60s, I think.
Okay,
so I want to say, maybe the 80s or 90s.
Okay.
And then it sort of flashes forward to kind of modern day times. They're all like 30 years old.
So they did try to make it modern.
Yeah. But I just feel like if you go from watching this TV show that has all these massive storylines, it just feels like you're constantly waiting for something good to happen in the book.
Right, okay.
Like, you know, these little things happen and I'm like, oh, okay, so this is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, it just peters out, or, you know, you don't get an answer about something.
Uh-huh.
I just felt like I was constantly waiting for it to get juicy and good. Yeah.
Well, because the biggest thing in this whole book is it real?
Or yeah.
Or is it in her head?
Yeah. And in the, I think the TV show did a really great job of giving you heaps of, like, alternative angles as to why these things are happening. Like, one, you've got all these kids are struggling with something. They're all haunted by something. And so then, like, you're wondering, you know, is it mental health? Are they having, like, a psychotic break? Is it just one kid's mind? Is all of this just in one of their minds? There's, like, black mold in the house.
All throughout the house.
And so, you know, there's these theories that, like, they were all just having, like, a like mass hallucination basically.
Yes.
But then there's also the question of like maybe ghosts are real, but maybe they're not what you think ghosts are.
Mm.
Like we've been taught that ghosts are these scary things that go bump in the night, but maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I don't want to give anything away, but like maybe there's maybe there are, like, benefits to it. But I don't know. There's also, like, these, I don't know, the characters are just so complex. Like, we've got these kids and we've got these parents and the mum is convinced that, like, she needs to keep her kids safe.
And is the mother disabled in the show as well?
Or? No, no.
Okay.
No.
Why?
She has migraines. That's it. But she just wants to keep her kids safe. And so she kind of gets driven mad by this idea that, like, they're only safe at Hill House.
Oh.
And then we get a connection, should I say? Like, we link to the book where the main character, Nell, gets a couple of signs from the house that's basically telling her to come home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's, like, this big thing. It's, like, come home. And she's, like, I'm home. I need to be home. Like,
okay.
And that's kind of one of the storylines, like the mum wants her to be at home and safe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought in the book, like we don't, like it's just the house wanting her to come home, kind of, you know? Whereas in the TV show, you get
the full spectrum of it.
You get a full spectrum of it and you get, I just think that
and the storylines are better. There, obviously, in the show.
No.
What?
Hayley, so, this is what I mean.
It's so they've cut out.
It is not the same by any means.
So it's completely different.
It's completely different. The only thing that's the same is that Hill House is the same.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you like the show more than the book. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yes, but I do want to be clear about the fact that, like, I didn't hate the book.
No.
I just think it was a disadvantage having...
This has never happened in the history of time, ever.
I know.
Where a show has been better than a book.
They really improved it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So when you read the book... And you discovered all these other characters. Were you like, did you think, okay, this is really different? Or did you think, I don't like this because it's not the show?
Yeah, I didn't, like, I enjoyed reading it. Yeah. But it was a little bit jarring because obviously Dr. Montag's a new character.
Yeah.
He's the one who's, like, brought them to this house. Yeah. But Eleanor, Theo, Nell, Theo, and Luke, they're all siblings in the show, but they're completely different characters. So it was a bit jarring having their names, like, because I felt like I was seeing them in the book, but yes, it just wasn't computing. Like, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
They weren't the same characters. So you think
the showrunners made an excellent choice of, like, taking that and going, we're going to do a completely different adaptation.
Yeah.
Have you seen and The Haunting? The movies based on this?
No. I don't know if they're implying that that's The Haunting Hill House that there is.
Or whether it's just an adaptation of perhaps. Because this, from my understanding of what I've read about this, because Shirley, when I was doing some research about this novel after I read it, Shirley Jackson got this idea of like writing a ghost story because she really wanted to. She then found a house that looked very similar. She actually did the plans of the house, like what it was going to look like on the bottom of the house.
Yeah.
And she found a house in California and her mum said, nature. That's actually your great-great-grandfather's house, right? Which is a really cool, interesting fact.
Why?
But she wrote this ghost story that has obviously become a classic. Like it's, you know, very renowned in the author world of, you know, when people ask, like Neil Gaiman, who's a very big author, got asked, what's the scariest book you've read? And he has said, The Haunting of Hill House.
Like, I don't get it though. I'm looking at the back of the book.
I think it's because it's like terror.
Stephen King said, like, his little like dedication on the book is, stepping into Hill House is like stepping into the mind of a madman.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I didn't feel that in the book.
You didn't feel that. So in the TV show you felt more jarred?
Yes. Yeah. I felt really, I can't praise the TV show enough. Yeah. It is the most clever, like I think so common with horror movies. For there to be no plot. It's on Netflix, by the way. You should really watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up plugging the TV show more than the book.
Yeah, I know.
If you're going to watch the TV show, I recommend reading the book first. It's a very small book, and I think you can get through
it's
it.
It's like 200 pages. It's not long
at all. I think it's hard to go the other way.
I'm interested now to see the show because I've come into this from a completely different perspective. Our original plan was that I was going to come over and binge watch it with Maddie.
Yes.
That did not happen. but I will do that.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to know, compare my own similarities with it and see if I will actually like the TV show more than the book because I'm coming in it from a different way to you.
You will. I can guarantee you will.
I really like that actress and as well.
Victoria Pedretti. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And even like I rewatched it over the weekend, the TV show, and there are a couple of things that I picked up on from the book, like a couple of little tiny things that I hadn't noticed before that I was like, oh, okay, I get that. That's from the book. Okay. I can't remember any of them now, but funny you said about her like drawing up the plans of the house because that's a big part. The mum is an architect, correct, basically. And so she draws the house plan over and over again. And that's like a really big part of the TV show. Yep. So I find that really interesting that that was obviously brought
to life.
Well, not even like that wasn't even brought from the book, but the creators of the show obviously knew that about Shirley.
That's really
Jackson's
cool that they've
life.
Done that. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's a really cool detail that they've included. Yeah. But yeah, like I think it's so funny with horror movies. I love a horror movie, but
I don't.
You basically know, you basically know that there's going to be no plot whatsoever.
Well, it depends on the horror because I think like some horror is when it's done really well, right?
But like general horror, like
jump scare you're talking.
Yeah. I mean like I feel like, you know, you got like psychological thrillers and stuff and like a psychological. I think, well, this is what I'm getting at. I feel like what makes the book and TV show so good is that it's not just one genre of horror.
No, I don't think so either.
It's like, it's clever. It's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make you question like, are there ghosts?
Yes.
Are there ghosts? Two, are they bad ghosts? Or like what
Three,
are these
is
ghosts?
This real?
is this real? But then also like, is mental health a factor? Is, you're talking about the TV show, is black mold.
Yes.
General like mass hysteria. Like it's been recorded throughout history that people just share like a mass hallucination for no reason.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
And I think the TV show was better at bringing that concept to life, but I definitely felt like the book was sort of hinting at that. I just think it was very subtle. Yeah. Very subtle.
Yeah. Well, because there's moments in the book where things are implied, you know, like Theodore as a character is implied that they're artistic and whatnot, right? And yeah. then you're kind of like, where?
That's like, the thing. I noticed that as I was reading out the synopsis, I was like, nowhere did I think that Theodora was an artistic sensitive. Never was that mentioned whatsoever. Yeah. Nell seemed to be kind of the only one who was like, the house was, I don't know, really communicating with?
Really affecting
her. Affecting her, that's a better way of saying it.
I agree. It mainly focused most on her, because obviously the ending as well is about her. But like, the show is very different. You were saying, obviously not going to give anything away.
No, but,
like,
but Nell's storyline is my favourite storyline out of... So all the siblings have their separate lives, and it's kind of...
Does each episode follow a sibling?
Kind of, okay. And each episode flashes back to the when they were kids and forward to when they're adults. Okay. And so there's a lot of like...
So it's completely different.
Yeah, yeah. It basically, it starts out with the dad, like waking up all the kids in the house being like, we have to leave, and the mum's left behind, and the kids are crying, and it's chaos, and the kids are seeing things in the house. It like starts off chaos, and then it's sort of like, as we get episode to episode, the kids are like, you know, they hold resentment, their dad's never really told them what happened in the house, they've all got their own separate things that are sort of haunting them, whether it be like actual ghosts or like things that they've done in their past, you know, like
drug addiction,
cheating, infertility issue, fertility issues. And yeah, like I don't know, like, and you're also trying to figure out what happened in this house.
Yeah.
I liked that. And like talking about like, you know, basically the show gives you more answers and more like options as to why these things are happening. Like a couple of times you find out that, like the kids themselves, like, you know, like it was one of the other kids that made a noise that scared,
the other ones.
So, and I just think that's so funny because it's kind of all or nothing in horror, right? It's like, no, the house is completely haunted. Every noise you're hearing is a haunting.
Horror comes to mind with that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, it's only something bad doing this. But then in this one, it's like, maybe it's not. Maybe it is not. Just
it's
kids running around. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know. And I loved that because it actually makes you think. But it also gives you a couple of jump scares. But you also, like, you get some really beautiful love stories. Like, speaking of Nell, she has the most beautiful love story.
Mm.
Her storyline is like... Oh,
You love it, don't you?
I love it. Honestly, this TV show, like, it makes me cry. It makes me laugh. It's beautiful and tragic and painful.
All the emotions.
It's like it's like a tragic fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's not your typical horror.
I can see why the book would have probably not lived up to those expectations. It fell short. Yeah.
It wasn't... I felt like Nell's character was like... Oh, my life's so sad. Yes. Like, and then she gets to this house and she's just an unlikable character. Mm. And one thing I must say actually that I liked about her character was that I think Shirley Jackson really depicts anxiety in a very good way. Well. Yeah, you know, like they'll all be sitting around talking and, you know, Nell has this internal dialogue of like, oh my God, they think I'm stupid, or like, oh my God. Or she'll just be like, wow, I'm here with people. People like me.
Oh my God, people like
me. Yeah, like I'm literally in a group. Line.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, like as someone with anxiety, like you do tend to do that. You sort of disassociate from a situation and go like, these people are happy sitting in a group with me. Like I'm here. Like I'm here. Okay. Yeah.
That's so true, isn't it?
I really liked that.
That's what I kind of liked about the book as well, is that it's not one genre of horror. Like, it kind of jumps, you know, like we have psychological moments, we have thriller, we have horror, but it's not really horror. Like, it's terror more so.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see. Yeah. Some things are really described and very descriptive, and other things is like, it's just a mystery. You don't know what's happening, and then you start to question if she's seeing it or like you know what's going on.
Yeah,
her anxiety comes into that a lot as well.
Yep.
Because I really like, okay, let's just talk about the writing. I really liked the writing. I think it was written really well.
Same.
However, obviously it was written in 1959, so it was a little bit different to that modern day writing that you and I are both used to.
Yeah.
It was a little bit... You can tell it's classic, you know.
Yeah, you could tell it was a classic, but with all the bad things I feel like I'm saying about this book, I really liked the writing.
Writing, yeah.
And I feel like I've said it before, if I don't like a book, I won't finish it. Like, I'll really struggle to get through it.
Do you mean A Darker Shade of
Magic? I haven't finished it yet, but I will. Do you mean A Darker Shade of Magic by V.O. Small? I don't know. We're reading so much now. I think over Christmas I might be able to slot it in. We'll see.
Maybe. We have to pick a Christmas novel somehow, but they're all terrible. Yes. They're all terrible.
Unless we pick a classic, I feel. Oh, might have goodness. To be a Christmas Carol.
Oh, God.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm even smart enough to read A Christmas Carol. I think old English.
Oh, yeah, it is old English, isn't it? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we just will not do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I enjoyed the writing. I
really enjoyed the writing as well.
I think it was just, I don't know, I feel like I didn't love any of the characters. I didn't care that they were being tormented. I really disliked Theodora's character.
Okay.
I really disliked her.
Is that because you were comparing it to the show, though?
No, I just...
Didn't feel it.
I just... Like, she was really mean to Nell. Like, mean, and there was, like... Like, they were kind of fighting over Luke, like, the heir to the house a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, like, that was meant to be, like, is the house sort of, like...
Implementing, yeah.
Behavior, Yeah, like, the house is kind of, like, leaching like into you and you're getting, like, you're becoming angry and stuff, which I feel like is a very typical theme in a horror, movie. But, yeah, I just didn't like it. Like, as soon as... Theodora and Nell meet. They're like inseparable. They're like best friends. And I didn't like how quickly it just changed. And
then unrealistic,
And then Theo was just mean to Nell and they were like, you know, sort of fighting over this guy a bit. Like they were being very passive aggressive.
Yes.
And I was just like, why do you care? Why do you care? Like you both are...
We're being haunted. Like, why do you care?
Yeah, like, and like they... Basically, they're all kind of there because they... don't really have anywhere else they not that they don't have anywhere else to be, but like they don't really have any ties that's why they could go basically. Like they're not tied down by anything. It was an easy decision to go, you know. They might be like running away from something, but I was just like, why do you care? Like you could leave if you were unhappy. Like I just didn't...
I understand.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, like, I get it. It just was, like, hard to read, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, I also felt like we didn't get any depth of character. Like, we hear about Nell's mum a bit being disabled and, like,
I'm shocked that she wasn't in the show.
We don't hear that much backstory about Nell, necessarily. We don't hear much about Theo or Luke. She's a
side character, basically. Yeah. Whereas in the show, she seems to be very prominent.
You get so much information about these people's lives.
Interesting. And,
yeah, I just think that it... Like, I actually wondered... I feel like you got almost to the end and nothing scary had really happened.
No, I think so. And then like, I was very nervous to read this book, obviously. And
So you thought it was quite suspenseful.
Well, because I don't like horror because it scares me. It's basically why I don't read it or watch it, right?
Yeah.
But I thought it was quite suspenseful because I haven't read a book like this before and I was kind of going, is it... The whole time I was like, is this real or not? Like I was kind of questioning that. And
I think that's why The Haunting of Hill House, the TV show, is so good because you get the answers that I don't think you get in a normal horror movie.
No,
Normal horror movie is like, you know, I feel like the more episodes you go along in the TV show... The more answers you're getting, the less scary things become.
True.
You know?
There's that classic thing in horror, and I think Stephen King has said this quite a bit, of like, you show, not tell. Like something, and this is where J.K. Rowling made the Dementors as well, because she wanted you to envisage something like the unknown, whatever you can make up in your imagination,
yeah,
is far more scarier than what an author can describe to you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so true. Like any monster book or anything is like,
do you think that's maybe what, do you think that's maybe what I'm struggling with? Because it was,
that's what I found scary about it, is that it was, because there was some, it was a descriptive book in terms of feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
But it wasn't descriptive in terms of like, there was a little girl on the corner and she was wearing this, this and this, and she had pale skin. Like,
it and she giggled. Of, and yeah. She giggled.
Like, it had little moments like that where it was like giggling and things.
Yeah. I do have to say, like, I did write down in my notes how, when they first arrive, I can't remember which character says this, but they talk about how even the measurement or the dimensions of the rooms like make you feel eerie. Like, yes. And I think their sentence was like they're a little bit too long or a little bit too short.
Yeah.
They're like the opposite way you want the room to be, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting that, you know, maybe that was another one of those, you know, it hints towards like, it's not just ghosts. It could be scary. Mm. Like, it can be things in your mind, like something like a room being built just slightly weird.
Makes you feel uncomfortable.
Makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And then again, there was like a moment where I think Nell was like unpacking her things and she realized that she was trying to be quiet.
Mm.
And then she kind of thought to herself, why do I need to be quiet?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that because that's what you do when you feel scared. And it's like there's nothing scarier than when you feel scared, noise.
Right? Even your breathing can be like...
Yeah. Like, I remember being a kid and, like, you woke up from a bad dream and the most terrifying thing you could imagine doing is yelling out for your mum and dad.
I know.
Because you're like, no, like, what if the it sound. Comes in the
room? Yeah.
And I feel like it wasn't even for me. It wasn't even like, what if the thing finds me? It was just sound when you're scared and when things are silent is so terrifying.
It's so weird when you're a kid and you wake up to dead silence and you're like, what is
there? Silence is very eerie.
It is, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And you know, like I think that was good. I just think I needed a bit more action.
Okay. So you want a bit more action packed. This book actually inspired a lot of horror writing though from this.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty obvious that Neil Gaiman and Stephen King were very inspired by this author.
Yeah.
Is this her only book?
No, she's written quite a few. Okay. Yeah. She's written quite a few.
This is obviously her most popular though.
One of, she actually wrote, what was it called? They live in the castle.
Another horror.
Hold on. Let me flick. We Have Always Lived in the Castle, which, Sebastian Stan starred in.
Oh.
But yeah. And all very horror based.
Okay.
Yeah.
My next question for you is, do you have any quotes from the book? And to add on to that, is there any quotes from the show that you really liked?
Ooh.
All right, Tom Hiddleston.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Look, I liked, one thing I really liked was Nell keeps saying, like, I am here. I am here. I am here.
Mm. A very Alice Hart.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to try and describe this without giving too much away. It's really hard because, like I said, you start the show not knowing anything and you're
thrust into
not
it, right?
Scared, but like...
I wouldn't be scared.
There's so many questions you need answered. And it's really hard to say anything because you so easily give away these key things that happen. But... there is this one part with like Nell's storyline, like this whole, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And that's big in the book. She's like reminding herself like, I'm here.
I think that's
I'm
more of an
here.
Anxiety thing.
So. Yeah. It's more of an anxiety thing. But then like in the show, Nell goes missing during a storm and she's like, I was here the whole time. Like I was here and you guys couldn't see me. Like I was here. And they're all, they don't really believe her. Yeah. They're like, oh, like Nell's just having a nightmare.
Poor Nell.
And then as an adult, it's like in that exact same episode, we get it reiterated. We flash forward to when she's an adult and she's basically doing the exact same thing. She's like, I am here. Like I was here the whole time. Like I'm here, but no one's around. Listening to her again. Yeah. No one's like paying any attention to her. And I feel like that description probably doesn't do it justice, but like, tears.
Love that concept, tears. Yeah, of it, yeah,
absolute tears. And then I obviously didn't know the importance of I Am Here. Yeah. Until I read the book and then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, I Am Here. That
makes sense, yeah.
But like, there's something about being a kid and being like, I was right here and no one was listening to me. And then an adult as well being like,
yeah, I'm here.
I was right here. And they also like, they say it, like you see Nell, but it's the kid's voice, like the voiceover saying, I was right here, like I'm here. And I think there's something about that that's like, oh my God, like we're all those kids inside, yes, like, you absolutely. Know, and also like, you know, things that happen to us as kids really can stick with us and haunt
yeah,
us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that's like, that's a big...
A concept. Yeah. A big one for me. A quote, I guess,
that
you really liked.
I did not write down any of my quotes, which is so unlike me.
In your book, you did not write down quotes in your book.
Well, I dog-eared.
You dog-eared.
I dog-eared. Don't worry. Do we say
that on a book podcast? Like, you dog-ear things?
Well, it's my own copy. Yeah, I only dog-ear people things who, I want to remember.
I just need to say this. It's like, we should have, like, book trigger, like, things in episodes of, like, people who dog-ear things, people who highlight books, and people who write in the spine. I can't.
I could not write on a book. It feels bad, dog earring. It does. Yeah, but yeah. I know and that I want to remember some things.
Have you seen that?
Filthy.
As yeah. if. Animals.
Nah. Yeah. That actually makes me want to punch someone.
Do you know as well, fun fact about books, I'm sorry to cut this because you're going to read a quote.
No, but go for it.
In the US, they release hardbacks first. And then a year later, they release paperbacks. Because they're like, oh, the paperback's available. And I'm like, but Addie LaRue came out a year ago.
What?
How weird. Like, in Australia, we're paperback. We're a paperback nation.
I feel like, yeah, but I feel like the hard copy is available at the same time the paperback is.
Yeah, it's completely different publishing. Yeah. Strange, isn't
it? That's strange. Are they rich? Do they have that much money to spend on hardbacks?
I don't know. America's down the toilet right now.
Yeah.
I mean. Anyway, give us your next quote. This is from the book, by the way, so not the show.
Yeah. Okay, so. This is only 19 pages in. Basically, Eleanor, Nell, is on her way to the house. And I found this interesting. Okay, so I'll read it. There had been a fair somewhere near here once, long ago, with motorcycle races. The signs still carried fragments of words. Dare, one of them read, and another, evil. And she laughed at herself, perceiving how she sought out omens everywhere. The word daredevil. Eleanor. Daredevil drivers, and she slowed her car because she was driving too fast and might reach Hill House too soon. But I liked that because it kind of instills in us at the beginning, like, she's seeking out omens and she, you know, like, maybe she was sort of making these things up in her mind.
Yes, yes.
She does seem very, I want to say, narcissistic in that, like, you know, there is a whole world going on inside her head and I think she feels like she is the main character.
Mm.
And, you know, like closer to the end, I think it sort of starts to change. At first, she's a bit scared because like something happens and, you know, something happens directly to her and kind of points out that the house is kind of after her.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But then it sort of changes and she's like, oh my God, it wants me. Like, someone wants me.
Yeah. Yeah, she likes the attention.
She likes almost. The attention. Yep, yep. And so that begs the question, is this all in her head? Are the other characters even real? Is Nell just driving to this random place? Did she make up everything inside her head? Did she make
up everything? Yep,
But yeah, I liked that 19 pages in,
it's revealed.
We get this sort of questioning. Like, we notice that she is already seeking out these, like...
Validations almost, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, bad signs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, the whole, I think it's good to say, like, I think it's important to point out that, like, the whole start of the book, Nell is so obsessed with, like, daydreaming and fairy tales and, like.
Which is another reason why it's, like, is this in her head? That's what got me the whole time through the book. I'm like, is this real or
it's actually interesting because when we talked about it, I was like, oh, I didn't feel like it questioned it that much.
Exactly. Yeah, because you had a different perspective. I kind of forgot about
because I was obviously thinking bigger. I was thinking the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking like these massive signs. I needed someone to like bang me on the head and be like,
Maddie wanted a sledgehammer.
I needed a sledgehammer and someone to like scream in my face what was happening.
This is it. Whereas there was droplets of information. Yeah, there were these
little hints.
Breadcrumbs.
So yeah, I'm glad I kind of remembered that.
Yeah.
Because I liked that. And I did really notice going into it how much she was fantasizing her life.
Yes.
She always wanted something bigger, always looking at other people's lives. But I think it just made me not like her character. I was just like,
hun. She's very complicated though. You know, she's wants...
She is complicated, and, constantly wanting what other people have. I just don't know how I felt about her character, but I understood her this motives. Girl was going through stuff.
Yeah.
You can go if you want.
I'll say a quote. This is my favorite quote in the whole book. Because
That's a big, all right.
Favorite quote in the whole book. This is the thing that the doctor says. Fear, the doctor said, is the relinquishment of logic, the willing relinquishing of reasonable patterns. We yield to it or we fight it, but we cannot meet it halfway.
Wow.
And I thought it was perfect for the book because they do live in fear, a lot of them. They don't know what's going on. They're unsure.
Mm.
And fear is the relinquishment of logic because if you stop, when you're afraid, so like when I've been camping, for example, and I think there's a monster in the woods. I'm a 31-year-old woman. And yet for some reason I'm like, there could be... Like when I have to pee at night, 1 a.m., and it's dead silent, you can hear everything.
Well, that's enough to make anyone scared.
Like, and like there's no wind, nothing, and there's a full moon out. You think there might be a werewolf This is it.
I get taken with my
And
you've got
to kind of walk off into the woods and do your business and then come back to the tent.
Mm.
And I just think of like the fear... is a relinquishment of knowledge, because I know that nothing's going to get me. Like it's ridiculous, but there's some part of me that's like, what if there is? This is where mythical creatures probably were made up.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And no matter how much you try to tell yourself, like,
you're not going to die, like calm down.
There's nothing going on. Like, you know, you wake up from a nightmare and you're like, there's nothing in my room right now.
I'm an adult.
But it's like, no, like your heart's beating.
Yep.
Yeah. It's silent. Yeah. There's shadows in your room. Like it doesn't matter what you
And it's the perfect quote for this book. I thought it was a perfect quote for this book because it is constantly questioning of like, you know, they're in fear, but it's also like, is this even real? Is this all just in your head, you know, that things go bump in the night? Like you're not actually kind of seeing anything.
Yeah.
You know? And there's that, obviously there's that giggling girl, but like you kind of, it's all very like, this could not be real. That's what I really liked about the book. And that's what made it kind of scary in a way of like, you weren't really sure if it was actually a ghost, like there were ghosts in the house or whether it was all in her head or like, was she psychotic?
I also thought, I don't know if this is me just making something out of nothing, but they were never, I don't think they were ever all together when something happened. No. Like,
well, apart from telling her to run, that moment in the book.
But that was only, Theo and Nell.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, like, they were never all in a room together when something happened.
Yeah.
And me... being this like skeptic, I was like, what if it's like they're playing tricks on each other?
Yeah.
And they might not even realize they're doing it. Mm. That's something that happens in the show. Like you don't realize you're doing something and you do it. And it's kind of like the house, you know, like we were saying, it makes them angry and they're mean to each other sometimes. Mm. Maybe the house made them, you know, maybe their house was the giggling voice or maybe perhaps, like one of the other people.
Just heard it. Yeah, it was giggling in the house.
And I was constantly looking for those answers because in the show eventually you do get these answers and none are provided. And so I was constantly seeking them out.
Did you like the inner monologue, like of the voice, like of her constantly going, she thought this or like, you know, when she sees the girl, she's like, brave girl, she thought, or like...
I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
I just think I just didn't love the characters and that sort of bothered me a bit, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't find it hard to read or anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't love, like, there's one part where pretty much, like, I feel like it was, like, 2 pages after Nell and Theo are friends, Theo touches Nell's arm.
Mm.
And Nell is like inside her head, she's like, she touched my hand and I wanted her to die a slow and painful death.
Just reminded me of something.
And when, I was like,
when she,
what the fuck? When, like, come on. Like, why?
When, like, she, I questions didn't, though, when she, okay, you've just reminded me of a really scary part actually that actually did scare me.
Mm-hmm.
When she thought, God, whose hand was I holding?
Yeah, and that's, I love those moments. I love those moments where it's like, wait, whose hand was I holding?
Yeah, and you're like,
and that happens in the show. That's another thing that passes on into the show, little things like that.
Freak me out.
Yeah. Those sorts of little things were good. I liked that.
Yeah.
There
were moments of horror, I would say.
There were moments of horror, but then I feel like nothing huge happened.
No.
Nothing that made you, like, I feel like the whole way through.
It's not an action book.
Yeah, I feel like the whole way through, they're all quite skeptical of what's going on.
Mm.
Like, and they all really try to apply logic to every situation. Yes. And even though they are scared, I still feel like they wake up the next morning and they're like, that was a bit weird, wasn't it? And then they carry on with their day.
Anyway, let's stay here. Let's keep staying here. You and I, if we ever stayed somewhere... Like that, remember that, no, that creepy house you stayed in Adelaide for, like, with Monique? And
for clarification, we had just watched this, like, documentary on how a lot of Airbnb owners leave cameras in their Airbnbs. And you were
freaking out.
And this one place had, I've never seen so many sculptures, little, like, knickknacks in one place.
Yeah.
Instantly, we're like, well, plenty of places to hide cameras. Hide
a camera in here. It was a very art noir kind of house.
There was a picture of a crying clown.
Yes, there was.
Massive one. Yeah. We had to cover it with a towel. And
your room had, like, this fireplace that was filled with, like...
It's very,
It was weird, man. Yeah. It was, like, gothic vibe, French boudoir kind
of. Very bizarre. Very much so, yeah.
Weird place.
Yeah, we...
That would be haunted.
We were so nervous to sleep there alone that we went there for Hayley's wedding. Yeah. After the wedding, we were like, everyone back to our house.
I know. We invited everyone over. We're not staying there again.
We were like, so who wants to sleepover.
Does anyone want to stay? Because you're welcome to. In my bed.
With us.
Yeah.
It was like a 2 or 3 bedroom place and we slept in the same bed every night.
Very old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very old.
There was also like, there was like 5 doors leading out of the place and I feel like.
It was so weird.
Many doors to lock and you're afraid that.
It was very antique. I appreciated the antiqueness of it, but like there was too much going on. I thought it was very cute and chic.
As soon as Monique was like, oh my God, what if there's a camera? I was like, of course there's going to be a camera.
Of course, where are
you? I was like, of course, now I will not be able to sleep. Thank you.
But I was going to say, if we ever went into a house and we got a weird mojo vibe of like, this may be haunted, we would just be like, anyway, we're out. Like, you wouldn't continue to stay, right?
No.
You'd be like, I'm leaving.
One of the scenes, like, there is banging going up and down the hall. Banging up, down. It's like on the doors, like they're looking for someone and then they start banging hysterically on their door that they're in.
Ugh.
And like, and then they wake up the next morning and they're like,
oh, well, right. Do you want bacon and eggs for breakfast, anyone?
And maybe it's the house being like, just stay, it's fine, like, you're okay. And I think that is mentioned throughout, like, how they all say, like, isn't it funny that I never felt, like, scared for my life? Like nothing bad could ever happen to us here. But, yeah, and that's another theme that carries on in the TV show, like, maybe the house isn't, like, dangerous. Maybe it just wants to keep them safe, like, you know, like, there's this idea of, like... You know, what is safe though?
What is safe?
Safe isn't always the best. Like,
what is safe?
We can't
horror?
Be safe because no one's safe.
Yeah.
You know, you have to live your life and sometimes bad things happen and, you know, you can't protect yourself from that forever.
Yes. Who would you recommend this book to?
Look, I feel like, let me say, I feel like the TV show, I think anyone could watch the TV show. Obviously, if you don't like a sort of drama, if you're more into, like, really lighthearted, like, you just like a sitcom.
Although it has got raving reviews, I have to say.
It's really well made.
Yeah.
But if you're into like a drama, you don't mind like a little bit of, you know, action, you like a love story, you like a bit of tragedy, you sort of like that.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of everything. You like that storyline, then I think you'd really enjoy it. You don't have to love horror to like it. Like, it doesn't come across like straight up horror. It's horror because there's the topic of ghosts in it, basically. There's a couple of jump scares, like one or two jump scares. But for a series with like, I think there's 10 episodes, like two jump scares.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It tells you that it's not, but it's beautiful. And I just love that concept of like, it flips the idea of paranormal. Like, we're told that if something goes bump in the night, you automatically should be scared of it. You should be scared of ghosts. You should be scared of, all these things. And, like, you, like, shouldn't have to face your fears kind of thing. Yes. But then it just flips it. It's like, basically they're saying, like, you've been told to be afraid of these things, but, like, we're going to basically try and change your mind about everything you think you know about and feel about ghosts. I like that because it's never been done before. It's really good. And I think that you don't have to love a horror to like this.
To like it. Okay.
It's not super scary. And I think if you are really easily scared by things, just remember that there is an answer for everything.
And just remember that fear is the
relinquishment of logic. Yes. Yeah, and like maybe that's why they answered the questions. Maybe they tried to flip that sort of sentence. Perhaps. And they were like, well, let's apply logic. Let's answer.
True.
Maybe they wanted it to be the exact opposite of the book.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
But I just think preface it by saying if you want to watch the TV show and you think you would be interested in reading the book as well, I would read the book first.
Okay.
Good because advice. Then I think it just builds on from that. But okay. I think when you go the other way, it's just you're wanting more.
Right.
You feel like it will fall short a bit.
Yeah.
But I also feel like anyone could read the book. Again.
It's very short.
Yeah, it's very short. But, you know, if you want Sunshine and Roses, then this probably isn't the book for you. No. But if you're okay with a bit of drama, you're okay with
it's not exactly
the concept of ghosts. No. And see, the show is.
Yeah.
The show has a happy ending. Yeah, like it's, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I can't say anymore because I'm giving away. I hate this.
You want to say another quote?
Yes.
Okay, go.
I have dog-eared quite a few pages, but I one thing I loved about the show, and I didn't realize I loved it as much as when I read this.
Okay.
But it's the concept of this cup of stars, which I feel like you might have like...
I was going to read this quote, so I'll let you do it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, in the show, it's not big at all.
Yeah.
But like one of the kids finds this cup of stars.
Yes,
and,
loves it.
And Mrs. Dudley is like, protect your cup of stars. Nell has stopped. She's on her way to Hill House. She stopped at this cafe and this... little baby next to her is crying because it doesn't have its cup of stars. Mm-hmm. And then the mum's like explaining that like, oh, they only drink out of their cup with stars on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so the mum's basically being like, you can have your cup of stars later. Like, just drink what you have now, please. Drink what you have now. Just like, you know, really trying to settle this child. And then Eleanor says this, don't do it. Eleanor told the little girl, insist on your cup of stars. Once they have trapped you into being like everyone else, you will never see your cup of stars again. Don't do it. And the little girl glanced at her and smiled a little, subtle, dimpling, wholly comprehending smile, and shook her head stubbornly at the glass. Brave girl, Eleanor thought. Yeah. Wise, brave girl.
Yeah. I was going to read this way. I was going to read the same quote.
I really like that. And it's funny how, I don't know, the something so simple as like a cup of stars.
Yeah.
It's got something so comforting about it. And it's like, if you want your cup of stars, don't let people mellow you down. Yeah. Like you get your cup of stars. And I liked that was, something from the book that was taken into the TV show.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Okay.
Just give me a second.
Out of the minimal things that were taken to the TV show.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't do this.
What's that? The star?
Hold on. Yeah, I need to read the first line. Because, yeah, I loved the first line. The first line, I was like, okay, yes.
We're in.
But then I feel like it petered out a bit. Anyways, no live organism can continue for long to exist sanely under conditions of absolute reality. Even larks and katydids, I don't know what that is, are supposed by some to dream. Hill House, not sane, stood by itself against its hills, holding darkness within. It had stood so for 80 years and might stand for 80 more. Within, walls continued upright, bricks met neatly, floors were firm, and doors were sensibly shut. Silence lay steadily against the wood and stone of Hill House, and whatever walked there walked alone.
How beautiful, right?
What a way to start off a book.
Yeah. That was my third quote. Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe. Sorry, I feel like I've stolen. No, it's quote. Fine. Sorry, I need to tell have asked you.
Me to go first.
I'll do, hey, do you know this word though?
Oh, okay.
You ready?
Love that.
What do you think katydids is?
Okay, yeah, reading that out. I've got no idea.
They're bush crickets.
Oh.
Bush crickets.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, what so if was you read it again? By some to dream. So it's like even the like most tiniest creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, bush interesting.
Crickets. Little bush crickets.
Nice. But yeah, I really like that first page. I think it really sets it up.
Yeah.
And I feel like it tells you like, and throughout the book as well, they mention that like, I think there was a quote, I'm probably not going to be able to find it now, but it's like, some buildings are born good some buildings are good and others are born like inherently bad.
Yes, yes.
And they have like badness attached to them. It's another example of like, not necessarily, they're not saying like they're bad because there's like a demon there. They're just saying like some places just have an eeriness of negativity and badness to them.
Mm.
And I think that first sentence really sets that up. It's like Hill House is a bad place.
Yeah.
Yep, but whether totally. It's like when you go there, you are driven to insanity, or whether it's like, I don't know. But yeah, and that's another example of the great writing. Like that first page is great.
Yeah.
It's the reason why I kept reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked the way it was written. I can see why it's a classic.
Yeah.
You know, like it's because it's her. It was really well done in the fact of like, it wasn't first person, but it wasn't third person. It kind of was this in between.
It was, wasn't it?
Flowing between her thought dialogue. Like she's like, yeah. Brave girl, she thought, you know, but it's not actually putting it like in quotation marks or anything. It's just like a complete stream of consciousness.
Yes.
You know, the whole way through.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it kind of interesting to me as well, because it kind of makes it a little bit more scary in a way, because you're completely in the moment with this person. You know,
that is a great way of putting it. Yeah. That's so true.
You're not like having any afterthought. You're kind of like, this is what's happening. This is what I'm experiencing.
And look, I know like talking about how different the shows are, right? I think, you know, credit given where credit's due, like there is that same concept of even though the storylines are completely different and there's not as much action in the book, there is still that same storyline of like, it's not just ghosts that could be scary.
Yes, yes.
It can be the measurements of a room. It could be it could be a town that she's driven through before she gets to Hill House. It could be, and I think that writing and like you're saying, the way she wrote it, it makes it less about the ghosts and more about the these journey. Other little nuggets,
tiny just, things,
little tiny subtle. Yeah. Things that she's giving us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that. Like that, again, this book is like different to other horror books.
Like the holding hand thing was like so small. Like when she thought about, God, whose hand was I holding? Yes. I was like,
and because for like a page and a half before that, she's like, I dug deeper into Theo's hand. Like she was so scared, and we get so much description about how tight she's holding onto her hand. Yes. And then she feels, I think she said she feels like a supportive
squeeze back. Yeah, yeah.
And then she wakes up and she realizes that Sia is not next to her.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
Yeah.
Were really nice. And I did like that. I like things that you know, like horror's been done to death, if you pardon the pun. Well,
particularly in like, you know, you and I probably aren't well-versed in novel horror, but like...
No, but the basic concept of like TV, ghosts, you know, and hauntings, yeah, you know, it's called The Haunting of Hill House.
The Haunting of Hill House,
basic
yeah.
concept of haunting, I feel like, has been done to death. It's always yeah. a ghost. They're always angry. They, yeah. you know, have something left to give to the world. And,
yeah.
And they want, like, revenge, basically. And I love it when someone takes something that's been done to death and they flip it and they show you something completely different. They're like, you don't need to be afraid of
it's
ghosts.
It's not done very often.
Maybe you should be afraid yeah. of the fact that this house is longer, like, widthways than it is lengthways. Like, maybe that's what that scares
would,
you.
That would be Maddie's fear.
Yeah.
She'd I'm walk, like, she'd walk
OCD.
Into a
room. I'm like, wow! You hear a shriek and I'm like, that room is wacky. I'm out.
The measurements in this room are just not.
I walk out with a measuring tape. I'm like, that's it. No,
she's
I'm off
shaking
it.
In the corner. I'm measuring. Off it. You would. Oh, you see, David just wouldn't be able to deal.
But isn't that, like, I like that. I really like it when, because it shows that someone's really taken the time to think, like, how can I make people, like, question everything they've ever thought about this genre?
Well, that's the thing that makes it great. It's, like, it's not necessarily, like, yeah. it's about ghosts. It's, like, got all these other elements in it of, like, how fear can override your brain.
How it,
of, like
manifests.
Thinking that there's something there, of thinking that there's something in the room, or just, like, sounds and all these yeah. things, you know. That's yeah. what makes horror so great, yeah. you know.
And then I like that it's, like, it's not to the extent where it's, like, oh, this is just in her head. It's, like, no, like, maybe it is real. But also, yeah. I'm going to give you compelling reasons as to why
it maybe
might
isn't.
Not be. Yeah. But maybe it's both. And I think that's what it is. I think it's both. I think you've got someone in a very extreme state, very vulnerable state.
Yes.
And
she
you've
was,
got this
she
house.
She was vulnerable before she even entered yes. that house.
And I think, like, I believe that the house is bad. I think that there yeah. is, like, badness connected with that house.
But not all of it.
And I think there are, I think the house wants her to come home. I just like how that manifested. I think it manifested better, that storyline in the show. I think okay. that was done better.
Okay. Interesting.
I just think it made me connect more to the characters. Mm. I think the characters were all likable. But look, I want to say, I feel like I've just been hating on the book, but I want to say right, that, like, you know, out of 5 stars, I'd give this, like, a 3.5 or, like, a 4 star.
Okay.
So, like, a fairly
I'd give it
good,
a 4.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I liked it. I enjoyed it. But, like,
the show is a 5 out of 5, obviously, for me.
It's like an a million out of 5. Like, I love it. I will never stop raving about it. And so that's why it is up on such a high pedestal yeah. for me, that I think you kind of forget that this was good. This
that's
was a good
read.
That's kind
of how I feel about, like, the Witcher games compared to the novels. I'm like, kind of like the games more than the novels.
You said this. Yeah. Yeah.
And even the show. And I feel like I would like the show better than the books.
Yeah, okay.
Which we'll Ooh. See, we'll see. Because the first yeah. season I was like, what is happening? And everyone who is unfamiliar with the Witcher universe was like, what is happening? So I could only imagine how incredibly confusing it would have been to someone who has no idea
yeah.
like about
I
what's
think,
going on.
I watched the show and I hadn't read the book.
Yeah, and you were like, what's happening?
Yeah, I feel yeah. like with fantasy, you know that because fantasy books are so big,
yeah.
there's so much happening.
Yeah.
Obviously, when they get adapted into movies or TV shows, there's going to be things left out. And I think that, especially with The Witcher, you can definitely tell that we've missed out on things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get that inkling.
You
like,
have.
There was
yeah.
more there. There was yeah. more here. There's more to that. I
you
feel
have
like
100%
that,
missed out. Like,
yeah.
Dooney, who is series, well, I probably shouldn't. Oh, no, that's not a spoiler.
Mm.
Ciri's father is, like, skipped over so much in the show,
yeah,
whereas
okay.
in the books he's a very integral part of it, and it's, like, there's a whole story dedicated to that particular thing, because in the show all the little episodes are all short stories that Andre Sapkowski wrote and published in a magazine, like, all those little stories, like, The Last Wish, the genie episode is called The Last Wish, and that's about when Yennefer and Geralt meet, and it's literally almost like a whole book is dedicated to their meeting. So, like, they've done it right in, like, episodes. The episodes are the short stories in the book.
Okay.
And then it goes into, like, the novels. Like, so it goes in okay, this whole journey. Right. Anyway, we're talking about a completely different series.
Yeah, we are.
So, but it's just nice to you know, compare TV shows to books sometimes.
And yeah, and look, it's nice when, you know, you take a classic that, you know, to be fair, there's not, you know, those big storylines happening. We don't get a whole heap of background. Yeah. It's a short book.
Mm.
It's nice that they made something really great of her work.
I know.
And they really, like, paid tribute to that.
Yeah.
Watching it back after reading the book, like, you do notice more things trickle throughout. Yeah. And yeah, I feel like she would be very happy with what they've done. I mean, maybe I not because they created new storylines.
No, I think she'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it's made really well. The directing alone, like, it's great.
5 out of 5 for Maddie.
5 out of 5 for the show. For the show.
Yeah. 3.
For the show.
For the show.
3.5 out of...
I'd say 2.5. Yeah, 3. If you're 5, going 4, I'm not going to go the same 4 as you.
Because I have not seen the show, but who knows? Maybe if I saw the show, it might have dropped if I were, like, comparing. But I say 4 because I really enjoyed it. It's one of very few horror that I have read, and I really enjoyed the writing, the stream of consciousness. I like how she handled anxiety. Yep. I like that I was constantly questioning whether it was real or not. So I really enjoyed the book overall. I think it was really well done.
Yeah, I really liked it. I did too. I agree.
Yeah, and it wasn't scary. I'd recommend this book to people who love classic horror. I think that's probably, like, rather than psychological. It was psychological in some sense, but it was more like terror of you weren't sure what was going on a lot of the time. Very dreamy in some aspects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to say, so the casting of the Haunting of Hill House TV show is impeccable.
Yeah.
It is so, so good. Like you were saying, Victoria Pedretti.
She's so good.
I stand by the fact, I've seen You, I stand by the fact that this is her best role.
Yeah, she's in You with that, what's his name, off of Gossip Girl?
Oh my God, what is it? Penn Badgley. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, yeah. My whole life has been leading up to this moment, and I falter.
Is phenomenal in that, but
have not seen her acting until you have seen The Haunting of Hill House.
I love her in You. I think she's great in You.
She's great. She's such very a good pretty actress. Girl as well. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you... Oh.
Okay, I'll watch it just because of her, because I'm a big fan of her.
Her storyline alone makes me cry every single time I watch it.
Oh, okay. Great.
It's just... Oh. But yeah, but like so many great actors and actresses. So many great like... parents are both really well-known people. I don't have their names, but they're both really well-known. Yeah, all the siblings are...
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great actors. Okay. Great acting. Ugh, it is so good.
I'll watch
good.
It, I promise. I promise so I'll good. Watch it.
Oh, and another thing. Okay, here's the thing. Here is a big pet peeve I have about this book.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Listen to
my rant for the week. The Dudleys.
We did not talk about this.
Mr. Dudley.
Mr. and Mrs. Dudley.
Mr. and Mrs. Dudley are like
not
the caretakers.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. They're the caretakers of Hill House. Mr. Dudley doesn't really get talked about much. He's in it. He opens the front gate.
Yeah,
that's for them, it. He's gone. Mrs. Dudley lives in the house and she repeats the same one line the entire way through. And it bothered me that no one was like, that's weird that she only
you
says...
You just latched onto that so much.
Okay, so here's the thing. In the TV show, like, she's the one who explains the Cup of Stars to young Nell. And she is such a pivotal, integral character. She's been there, like, the whole storylines have been there throughout the generations that have lived at Hill House. And basically they choose to stay at Hill House and look after the house because they know that a family is living there and they want to make sure they're okay. Like, they're these warm, caring people. Mr. Dudley helps, like, try and get rid of the mold. Like, they're always there. He's the first one to be like, oh, like, if you think that your family becomes a bit scattered, like, in their heads, you should take a break from the house.
Yes,
He warns them.
Yes.
He doesn't get it, like... And they're such great characters. And so reading this, I was like...
Where are they?
I was like, what the hell?
What?
Like, see, I don't have that comparison.
When she just repeats the same one line over and over again, I was like,
I don't have that comparison at all, so I can't
but
relate.
I have to hone it in because this is just because I think the world of the TV show. And so it's really hard coming into it, seeing something so great, and then being like, it's jarring. What? It's super jarring.
It's like, the only way I can compare this is it's like reading The Order of the Phoenix. Wait, yeah, well, it's the other way around because the TV show is far superior. But like reading The Order of Phoenix and then watching The Order of Phoenix, completely different. Completely different things.
Did you find that?
Yeah.
Actually, I feel like...
I was disappointed in The Order of the Phoenix.
Do you know what? I think I got up to Order of the Phoenix. I don't think I've read the books further than that. Go for it.
Aragorn. Reading Aragorn.
You love to bring up this.
Reading
this
Aragorn.
Is your pet peeve.
This is my pet peeve.
Yeah, well, this is going to be
reading Aragorn and then watching Aragorn, completely different experiences.
Yeah.
The book is far superior. In this case, obviously, the book is not superior.
Yeah.
But the book is far superior. That actually has rights to Disney, so hopefully they'll remake it. But we will see.
We will see. Yeah. Well, if you write enough angry letters, I'm sure they will, Hayley.
Dear Disney.
Dear Mr. Walt Disney.
Dear Mr. Walt Disney.
But yeah, moral of the story, I think the book is great. 3.5 out of 5.
But not as great as the show.
But the show is so far superior. And I feel bad saying that because I feel bad saying that the book isn't better than the TV show.
You know,
but I just think the people who made the TV show did a really good job of taking the good parts of this book and diving further into the storylines and giving us more and giving us the answers that we were craving after reading the book. But do I think that if I hadn't watched the TV show, I would have probably given this more stars? Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
I'm currently sitting at a 4-star. So when I watch the show, I'll be like, next podcast, I'll be like, by the way, I watched the show.
Yeah.
My rating has now dropped to Maddie's standard.
Yeah. You've lost a 0.5. Yeah.
0.5.
0.5
I'm
deducted.
Take 0.5. I'm going to update my Goodreads and put 3.5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, you can't. You can only put 3 or 4.
Yeah. How really annoying is that? Really so annoying. Annoying. Fix that, Goodreads.
I'll write it in there. I'll be like, 3.5.
Yes, yes. But yeah, look.
Anyway.
Moral of the story, that was great.
Yeah.
I liked it. If you are listening to this, I really, 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 really think you should go and watch the Netflix series Haunting Hill House.
I feel like that's reiterated so much in this show. So if you're not watching
if you have gotten this far and you haven't picked up on that like propaganda from me, then...
propaganda?
Me. And there's other, like they've also created... in the book, sorry, I keep remembering things. Nell describes a few things as perfectly splendid.
Yes.
She keeps going perfectly splendid.
Perfectly splendid, yeah.
That doesn't come into play in The Haunting of Hill House, but in The Haunting of Bly Manor, which is basically another The Haunting of series.
Okay.
Sort of based off...
is that a book as well?
Look, it's kind of hard because I'm pretty sure she's written a few books that are like haunted tales and they're like short stories.
Right.
And so I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think a couple of them have sort of been morphed into it.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we read more of her works and we found a couple of things in different books weaved into the Haunting of Hill House TV series.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Nell says perfectly splendid a lot, and that is a big sentence used throughout The Haunting of Bly Manor. Like, this little girl's kind of, like, almost possessed, sort of.
Perfectly splendid.
Yeah,
perfectly
and she's got, splendid. She acts older than she is, but she's a young kid, and she always says, that's perfectly splendid. Breadcrumbs. But yeah. I read that, and I was like, oh, my God, that's from Bly Manor. Like,
okay, interesting. I would not have picked that up because I have not seen that.
No, you need to watch them. Well, Haunting Hill House is the best series that they've created. Bly Manor does not even compare.
Oh, my God.
It's just not as good. Not as good.
Okay.
This is the only one you need to watch. I stand by
watch
that.
Watch nothing else for the rest of your life.
I'm not kidding. I've watched this probably... 12 times, the TV show. I could watch it over and over again.
This is why we can't watch it together, because we were watching it together. You'd be like, Hayley, watch this part. And then you'd be like mouthing the words. It's like, TikToks though? When people like watch Lord of the Rings with like someone. And then, so the scene where Aragorn kicks the helmet and he goes,
and he broke his toe.
And then they're like, they look at the person watching it for the first time.
And you're like, hey, did you know?
Pause it. like, hey, fun fact. Just so you know.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That would be me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you would be like that. And you're like, so in this part, like.
I know. It is hard because, like, every time I've watched the TV show, you pick up something else.
Yeah.
And then there's so many, like, so many smart people who have written about the theories about the show. So, like, you do get answers, right?
Okay.
But then there is still, like, at the end of the day, could the whole thing have been black mold poisoning? Could it have been this? Could it have been that?
Interesting.
So you are given some answers, but there are still, it still could be, you know, there are
haunting. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It would be hard, actually. It would be really tempting for me to be like, oh, did you notice that? Did you notice that?
My God.
But it's a part of the, you watch it and then I feel like there would be a couple of things that I'd be like, just really pay attention to this part. Just really pay attention.
I can imagine watching it with you and you're just like, just hang on. You don't pay. I am watching, yeah, Maddie.
But it's interesting. So watching it the first time, I watched it when it first came out. And so then I saw all these articles of people being like, here's what you might have missed in the Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
So it's completely different once you read those things and you're like, uh-huh, oh my God. That's where I picked up on the black mold poisoning. I knew there was this black mold storyline, but I didn't think black about really like
dangerous.
Yeah, I didn't think like, oh, maybe these people were being poisoned and having these mass hallucinations. Yeah. Until I read about it and I was like, oh my God, that's so true. And everyone I talk to, I say, like, oh, and did you realize like it could have all just been black mold.
And they're like, no.
And they're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? But it's like, again, this subtle thing.
These subtle things.
You know, you think it's just something they're doing to fill the gaps. Like they're just.
But it's intentional.
Mm-hmm. It's so intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So really smart. We absolutely have to watch it. Or you have to watch it.
Okay.
You can watch it without me the first time. But we are watching it together at some point.
I'm not watching with headphones in, that's for sure.
No. No jump scare. No jump scares until later. I have to watch
things on silent. Even when I watch things on silent, I still get scared. You know, watching that Quiet Place film, I'm like, I'm going to watch this on silent. Didn't work. Was still afraid.
Yeah, okay. No. All right.
Scariest things I've ever seen is that stupid Mother movie. Anyway, I won't talk about that.
Oh, yeah, about like Mother Nature and.
No, that's a different one. I've seen that one though, but that fucked me up. That was really true.
What's the one you're
baby? Oh my God. No. This Mother one. Oh, they go. Okay, just quickly, because we ought to end the show. They, we should have talked about this at the start, like what's the scary movies. Anyway, these people go into this house to find what's going on. There's child neglect. They have a feeling. And these girls are running around on all fours.
No, not Mama.
Mama, that's
no,
it.
No, oh, no, F off, Hayley. No, I don't want to think about it.
I literally started watching it and I stopped it because I'm like, I cannot actually watch this.
That's too much.
Oh, anyway.
Yep. Uh-huh. Okay, well, look, we need to end this at some point.
Yeah, we need to go eat dinner.
Yes. So thank you so much if you've made it this far.
Thank you very much. We hope we haven't scared you away.
I hope I haven't annoyed you too much telling you to try and watch this TV show, but you really should.
The whole episode is you should watch the show.
Yes, but you should read the book first. Don't read the book after. Don't be like me.
Don't be a fool like Maddie.
Or just be aware. Just be aware. I didn't know that it was going to be so different. So,
yep.
Anyways.
I'll update everyone on what I think.
Yes.
If my star rating has dropped.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to post something on our Instagram when you watch it. We'll do a little TV review.
Yeah.
So we have a serious book next week. We're doing The Happiest Man on Earth by Eddie, is it Jakku?
Jakku, I think that's how you say his last name. We probably butchered it a little bit,
So excited to read this one and talk
about it. Yeah, I think this is
such a beautiful man. Really beautiful
looking
story.
Forward to this book, actually, because if you just look at the front cover, the photograph of him on the front is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like his kind eyes, and even everything.
With his like concentration camp number, his like ID. He's like showing it proudly.
He's showing it proudly that's what he did. He survived, you know.
Incredible man. Story. And I can't wait to discuss it
together. Yeah.
Please join us. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a really lovely review. That would be amazing.
3.5 stars.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Catch you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.